Boy, what a pleasure joining us. Mike Kruko here on KNBR 680. Spring training, is there a better feeling than sitting in the dugout about 80 degrees looking out at the field?
There is not. There is not a better feeling. Last night I was in San Luis Obispo, and I flew out this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. I mean, I felt like a kid on Christmas Eve. I just couldn't wait to get down here. Drove into the ballpark, and there's Mike Murphy, and there's everybody, and the fans are here. The ballpark's gorgeous. There is no better place, Marty.
Bullseye on the back of this team. You've been through this before, winning a pennant, getting into a World Series. Of course, this team wins a World Series. It's true. I think in baseball, the bullseye goes on the World Series winner. How do you avoid it?
Well, you don't. You embrace it, and it's a good and it's a bad. Number one, you're marked. You're a team that everybody's going to amp up for. But the good thing is that baseball is a game where you can't play amped up. So if a team's overpumped up to try and beat you, oftentimes they take themselves out of a ballgame. They beat themselves. So the advantage is that, you know, you lock into your everyday routine, whereas the opponent you're playing is not. He's a little overhyped because they want to take down the world champ. So there are good things, there are bad things, but the sooner that they get comfortable with the handle, and it looks to me, just watching the strut that they have in their stride, I think they've already embraced it. But I think the sooner they get comfortable, the better off they're going to be.
What did you like to do in spring training? I mean, you were a veteran, of course. Go back to your early years with the Cubs. But as life went on for you as a big leaguer, what was spring training like for you?
Well, do your work. You know, and I had a process that, you know, you would try and duplicate year in and year out as to get how I wanted to get my arm in shape and how I wanted to get my concentration in shape. I mean, it was hard for me to pay attention when I first started watching spring training games mentally. And I forced myself to, and I would start the first few games. I would say 4 or 5 innings. I would watch every pitch, and I'd try and anticipate every pitch. I'd watch what they were getting over, what guys are swinging at, and I'd really concentrate. And then after that, you know, I'd go home. The next day, I'd watch 5. The next day, I'd watch 6, and I'd work myself up into where I could do 9 innings, and I could concentrate. And that would be the same concentration you could take on the mound during the ball game. So so much is said about a pitcher getting his arm in condition, but you have to get your mind in shape too.
Boy, that's a good... I never thought of that. Now, see, I've been doing this for years, reading baseball for years. I never thought of the mental concentration of going 9 innings as a pitcher.
Well, and a lot of guys, especially, you know, you put your game face on in a game, and you know, you take it out there, and you're into the game. Now, all of a sudden, you come back in, your team gets you 6 runs. A lot of guys lose that. They lose the edge. Their concentration kind of goes off because they have a big lead. Well, those are things that I learned, unfortunately, the hard way as a young pitcher, and those are things that I worked to try and correct later on in my career.
Well, looking at this ball club over the winter, not many changes. Miguel Tejada is here, but a healthy Mark DeRosa, a different Sandoval. Boy, you're going to see him all business on the field. I say to the fans, they say, what's the offense like? I say, it's game 6 of the World Series. It's the same offense we saw over the last 6 weeks of the season, but even a little better.
Well, they're better because they're going to get Buster Posey for a full year. They're better because they're going to get Pat Burrell, and they're going to get Cody Ross, and they're going to get a panda that's much similar to the panda we saw his first year in the big league. So, I mean, I think because of that, they're better. I also think that once you climb a mountain like they climbed last year, I think your expectations from yourself are different, and I think you have to have high expectations to have good seasons. And the other thing, too, is another factor that, you know, you're going to hear more and more about as the spring unfolds. You know, you have to have pressure from below. You have to have guys down below that are capable of taking your job. Because if you're comfortable up here, you're never going to be as good as you can be. If you're getting pushed because there's teammates on your bench that are capable of taking your job or taking your at-bats, you know, it's going to push you to be better. And if you've got pressure from the minor league system as well, I mean, that's an even better incentive, motivator, if you would. But so I like the entire chemistry of what I see here from down below all the way through the top.
Mike Kruko with us. Nothing better than sitting in the dugout talking a little ball with him. Boy, I enjoy it. This team is still undervalued, and I'm not going to say lack of respect, just undervalued. As you look around baseball, you listen to all the shows on TV and what's been written nationally. For some reason, I think the Phillies still think the NLCS is going on. Undervalued. Now, these are pros. They've won a World Series. Do they take that to heart?
They absolutely read what is written, and it ticks them off. But I love it. I mean, I was 2 days after the Giants had won the World Championship. Teams or writers, national writers, were already starting to write how, you know, next year it's not going to happen. They snuck up on everybody. You know, this is a team that kind of bushwhacked the rest of the baseball world. And it was like, oh, thank you so much. They're putting another chip on these guys' shoulder, which is what they had the whole month of October and into, you know, that one glorious day in November. But they handle that chip well. And if it's the national media or whoever that puts it on the shoulder for them, so be it. I welcome that chip. And so does Bruce Bochy.
Well, looking at the pitching staff, and look, Matt Cain's got a little elbow thing going. Brian Wilson had a back going for a couple of weeks. You never like to see things in spring training, injuries, and you've been down this road before. There's still plenty of time to go. I guess the slightest twinge or hamstring or anything, you just shut it down.
Yeah, this is the time to make sure any inflammation, if it flares up, you kill it with rest. And, you know, Matt Cain throws a curveball, and I threw a curveball. And, you know, in the offseason, you don't throw curveballs. You know, you establish your fastball. But, I mean, your curveball is a different set of muscles, and you have to start getting those things cranked up. And usually when you start throwing them, it's in a game. You're not easing the breaking ball. You're busting it. And you have a tendency to get hot, and that's what's happened with him. They said structurally there's no problem. They MRI'd him. He says he feels good. He wanted to throw today. They're not going to let him till tomorrow. But I don't think anything that he has in his elbow is anything abnormal or anything to worry about.
You've been around the game again. Phenoms, spring training phenoms. Think back to some that you saw and maybe made it or didn't make it, because I will tell you this, watching Brandon Belt play, for me, I don't care what the stats are, what everything else is, all I have to do with my eyes is watch this kid hit. This is a real swing. How about going back in your career a little bit? Spring training phenoms, what do you think of them?
Well, you don't trust them. I mean, you do when you're a young kid and you know, you see guys having great at-bats and whatnot. But, I mean, you know, you look at first base in this organization. Look at, you know, Dan Ortmeyer and Todd Linden and J.R. Phillips, you know, guys who had great credentials that just couldn't apply it at the big league level. And so, down here it's different. You don't have great breaking balls. Guys don't have great command. And you kind of get triple and a half pitching. But when the big leaguers start to show up around the 1st of April, it's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different deal. So you learn that spring training is great to get in shape with. It's essential for young players to basically let their organization know that they're coming. It's an opportunity for old players to rekindle their abilities and win a job. But for the most part, I don't read a lot into it.
What was your last spring training and what happened?
1989, well, I had arm surgery in 88, and I threw three innings. That was it. I had one pitch I could throw. It was a cut fastball. I came into this game throwing 95, 96. I went out throwing 78 mile an hour, one pitch cutters. And that's all I had. But so I threw three innings. It was a B game. And Roger Craig said, well, we really can't run you out there. I think our best bet with you is just kind of surprise everybody. If they see what you're throwing now, they'll be ready for it in the season. He goes, I know you're going to throw strikes with that cutter, because that's all I had to get rid of, or that's all I had to get people out with. And so he says, they're going to go up there looking for 90, and they're going to get this, and we may be able to trick him. And by God, that's exactly what happened. I wound up going 4-3 before it finally blew up, but that was my last spring. It was just kind of like I was kind of a coach.
Boy, the big games on the backfield. You're doing a little work down here.
Yeah, and this is the first weekend that I'll get a chance to broadcast. Tomorrow, John Miller and I will do a radio game for KMBR. Then John and Dwayne Kuiper and I will do Sunday. And then on Monday, we're going to do our first Comcast televised game, Dwayne and I. So I'm just happy to get going. This has been the quickest offseason. It's been the best offseason. And I hope they can have another one just like it next year.
You and about 5 million other people in the Bay Area.
Wasn't that parade something? Wasn't that whole experience amazing? And everywhere we go, I mean, we hear Giants fans' testimonies as to what it meant to them, what it meant to their families, what it meant to their friends. And you can't go anywhere here in Scottsdale without seeing orange and black and smiles that go with it. So it's a wonderful accomplishment. The Giants fans have earned the right to bask in it, and I'm enjoying being around them.
You do it so well. Boy, Mike, thanks for being with us.
Marty, always a pleasure. And by the way, you're good luck. You show up, they win world championships.